Man, that sunset is gorgeous.
Grill, patio, sunset. Hard to get better than that. Unless you're browsing Carvana's inventory while you soak it all in.
Oh, burger time.
So sit back, get comfortable. Carvana's got thousands of cars under $20,000 just waiting for you.
I could stay here forever.
Carvana, where car buying meets comfort meets convenience. Download the app or visit Carvana.com today.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
What are you doing for the holiday season? Do we even talk about this for your Christmas travels?
Yeah, we're not going anywhere. It's too much money.
Yeah. Nope. I mean, look, the only reason we're traveling is because, like, in June or July, I was like, let's do this. We had a Southwest credit and we had some points, and we ended up paying $200 total for our flights. And I was like, yep, that is why. But I haven't traveled. You know, I'm talking about this because we're getting back on our flight attendant. It's topical. We're talking about airplanes, guys.
Oh, yeah, baby.
But, you know, I just haven't traveled during the holidays for like 3 years. And I'm just like, fuck. It'll be fine. It's just I forget. The busyness. I forget the, you know, and like everybody knows, luckily I just I had the COVID. So hopefully I got those antibodies swimming in my system. Or that X-Clear, baby. You know, the xylitol spray. Yeah.
I've heard. Oh, can I go just get that at a drugstore?
Yeah, you can just order it from Amazon. Like, I mean, or I
want to put that up in my nose for these cocktail parties.
Hell yeah, you should be. You get 4 hours of protection is usually what you're getting, like per spray. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because the truth is, with a lot of these new catering gigs, it's 1 hour prepping, so you're not with the public
intermingling
at all.
Yeah,
and then the last hour is breaking down, so again, you're away from them. But it's that 4 hours in the middle where I want that xylitol up my fucking nose. Welcome to Sidework Podcast.
Hi, everybody. Hi, guys. I'm your host, Andrea Wallace.
And I'm your host, Brooke Von Poplin.
We're just still like talking about COVID.
Panicking about Christmas travel. Yeah, I do. Like, listen, I did just check. You know, I was like, what if? And it was like, oh, no, nope. It was going to be like $1,600 a person to fly economy.
Yikes.
And we're like, oh, no. We want to stay and work.
What?
And
that's crazy.
It's out of control. So we fly Delta, and that's where I have points and I earn my points.
Right.
And it was just like, nope. I was even trying like off peak kind of holiday travel days, and it was still like, nope. So yeah, I wasn't even looking for anything fancy, honey. You know, I like an upgrade, but this was just for economy. And I was like, okay, we don't have that. We just do not have that. And everyone understands. But my plan is I'm going to approach this restaurant tomorrow called The Raymond. And I'm sure they're going to have staff who like doesn't want to work. And I'm going to be little miss. Put me in, coach.
Yeah.
I will work your seated reservation only fucking down payment on your Christmas dinner situation where you get auto. Like, I will work Christmas day.
Yeah.
No problem.
No problem.
So that's just our attitude, is to just make as much money, because 2023 has sucked such a big dick.
Oh, no, absolutely. I mean, I think that's just, I feel like I still have the mentality of like, oh, yeah, I work Thanksgiving and New Year's, but I have Christmas off. Like, I still have that service industry mentality. And so does Brian, like, you know, because he's always on call. He worked Thanksgiving this year, and I think he's working New Year's Day, but he'll have Christmas off. Like, it's so strange that we're all just like still floating in this, like, yeah, that's just how it is, because that's how it's been since I started working.
Well,
in the service industry.
And I want to be here because everyone's in now in film, TV, and commercials is making up for like all this crazy lost time. Mm-hmm. Like a year ago when it was so weird and uneven, it still was busy up until about the 23rd with voice auditions and all this stuff. And I think Sean's going to be really busy up until about the 22nd. That's so great. Here's to hoping.
Here's to hoping.
Yay!
Let's like definitely end it with a bang. Oh, good God. And we hope you guys are doing okay out there too as far as like work and working and the you know, things are getting at this point in the game when this episode drops, like things should be starting to pick up with Christmas parties, holiday parties, private parties. Like the shit's gonna be popping. Like, yeah, I heard this past weekend, even this like or the first weekend of December, like people are like, people are fucking out there shopping, getting it done. Things are crazy. So I think everything's in full swing at this point. All right. Well, let's pop into some headlines.
Okay, I'm here for it. I love this. This is just a short and sweet little headline, nothing too crazy. But three sisters in Cleveland, Ohio, just went ahead and took their family's tradition of drinking glug. You know what glug is.
I love glug, 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 glühwein. I love it all.
We love it, love it, love it. We are Midwestern, baby. But they have merchandised and bottled their family's recipe of glug. Let me open my Fox8.com headline. So this is in Highland Heights, and it's turned into a total success stories for these three sisters. So basically, like the wine recipe and glug comes from, glug is Swedish, right?
It's like Swedish origins. Yeah, there's like, yes, I would say Swedish glug, the glug. Yeah, that is for sure. I think it's more of a Scandinavian thing, but it like also goes into Germany. That's like the glühwein, right, Brian? I think, yeah. But I'm going to go Swedish because that's, Simon's was in the Swedish neighborhood and that's where we had it in Chicago.
And Jocelyn, when she was a rip-roaring drinker, used to make some killer glug.
Oh, yeah.
She made some great glug. And essentially, it's fortified wine. You are pouring, like, warming spices, mm-hmm. tawny port or brandy mm-hmm. into mulled wine and putting all the goodies in there.
Yum.
It gets your gut so nice and warm so that you can deal with lake effect blowing across Lake Erie or across Lake Michigan.
I can like smell it right now as you're like, you know. Mm-hmm.
I'm going to make some this year. I haven't done my own ever, so I'm going to do it. I feel very inspired.
Amazing.
So basically, 3 years ago, Whitney, Lindsay, and Catherine Nidus, they started selling their Christmas time glug around the holidays. Because it did so well locally, it's become a Northeast Ohio tradition.
I love.
And it's got its own twist as it's a Cleveland glug. And I have a lot of fun saying glug. Basically, they do their version of it, which is a tawny port, warming spices, clove, ginger, cardamom, cinnamon sticks, and here's their twist, golden raisins. Yummy. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, yeah. The I believe that Simon's would put golden raisins and they'd put slivered almonds into there. And that's what they'd float it on top. And then you get like a little ginger cookie to go with it. Remember?
Oh my God. Yes. Mm-hmm. And now I don't like fruitcake, but this almost sounds like alcoholic yummy fruitcake in a glass.
Yeah, no, I in a way agree with that. I also feel like I've never had the right fruitcake. Somebody change my mind.
Somebody
send me the perfect fruitcake.
Actually, you know that meme of the guy who's always sitting at the table, like makes a crazy statement and says, change my mind. Mm-hmm. Like he's sitting. You should do a meme like that and be like, fruitcake is trash. Change my mind.
And then P.O. box. I'm gonna need a big P.O. box.
Send it my way.
Send me all the fruitcakes. Oh God. All right.
So yeah, there's basically, yeah, you can purchase their glug at the Rustic Grill at Stonewater Gulf, and it's a $29 bottle, which I think is a super fair price for a homemade small business. So cheers to them. Happy holidays. You know, it's called a Yuletide Cleveland glug.
Nice.
I love it.
So great. That's so great. Okay, so next story, Brooke, this one's for you.
Thanks.
Connecticut woman suing Chopped restaurants after finding severed finger in salad. Chopped being a salad chain, you know, where you get to choose your own toppings. So this woman claims that she chomped down on a severed finger that was mixed in with her chopped salad, and it belonged to the eatery manager who accidentally lopped off her hand while dicing arugula. According to this lawsuit,
her whole hand?
I think her, the tip of her finger. The tip of her finger, I would assume.
The fuck?
Yeah, yeah. So she was sitting down to enjoy her healthy meal at Chopped Creative Salad Company, all right, when she made the grisly discovery, according to her 12-page suit filed, all right, on Monday, that she was basically, like, sitting down to eat, and she realized she was chewing on a portion of a human finger that had been mixed in with it. And it made it into the salad. It was discovered that earlier in the day, the employee working at the location of the restaurant was chopping arugula and chopped off or cut off a portion of her left pointer finger. Oh, my God. The unnamed employee, a manager of the eatery, was rushed to the local hospital but left the severed finger behind.
With Damn it, a partially- you can put that back on.
With a partial digit ultimately finding its way into Cozy's salad and eventually into her mouth. The restaurant was later cited for a violation by the health department. Yeah, but that did little to soothe her. And she's like, fuck you. I am traumatized and sickened and I'm going to sue you. So boy, oh boy, oh boy, oh boy. Yeah. So, I mean, that's a lot. I haven't heard of a human body part being involved into a salad. Brooke's got a really great joke about, you know, a crazy, crazy choose your own adventure salad places. And so to me, this rings very much home with her.
Yeah, 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 yeah. And I love too that this woman doesn't want to come forward. She doesn't want to name names. Her lawyer says she's fearful that publicity will exacerbate her stress and anxiety levels from chewing on a finger.
She's not okay, folks. Accidental cannibal. There's an accidental cannibal out there. Oh man, what a great happy holidays, guys.
I know. I was gonna say.
Should we pop in now to the part two for flight attendants?
Yes, because y'all, this might be a little bit shorter one because we have no service submitted stories to share, but it's okay. We'll get through it.
I love this voice. I think you should always do the podcast in that voice from now on.
It's the one my niece uses to make fun of me.
I think it's if you were trying to do like a Marilyn Monroe impression, like that's what I think it would sound like. That's how it would come out of your body.
Happy birthday, Mr. President. It's nothing like Marilyn Monroe.
If Brooke was an actress in the 1950s, that's how she would speak.
Hey, what do you feel is up to? I'm a sky waitress. I feel like I'm doing like an impression of Henry Zebrowski impersonating a woman.
Oh, God.
Hi, Henry. We love you. We know you listen. Okay, so here's part two. This is part of the episode where it gets about as juicy as biting into a finger in a salad.
Oh, boy.
But let's talk about it, right? Flight attendants, they are just like us servers.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And just like we had an entire episode about like substitutions and weird requests, you best believe this 100% happens to flight attendants as well. Let's open this article from Travel and Leisure and talk about it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. This is the 10 weirdest requests flight attendants have ever gotten on planes. Number one, a parachute. All right. So one of the craziest requests I received was a passenger who asked for a parachute mid-flight in case of emergency. Oh, boy. Of course, these requests are impossible to fulfill. But what can I do except for trying to make the flight as comfortable as possible and just giving out freebies? You know what? I can't get you a parachute, but I can get you a free bag of a little Pringles can. How's that?
I think I'd be like, I don't have a parachute, but here are five Jack Daniels tiny bottles.
I could be like, so, I don't have a pair of shoes, but I have a pair of shoes because they have a little slippers, complimentary slippers sometimes on the plane.
Oh, okay. Uh-huh. All right. this retired flight attendant with 22 years of flying in the air under her belt, she had a famous passenger, probably up in the first class, and by the name of Gary Coleman, just politely asked if she could deep fry his chicken. that was served to him. He'd like it extra crispy. And she was, so sad to inform him, we don't have a deep fryer on the airplane. So she had to say no to Gary Coleman.
I mean,
this one's great.
This one is a request for, it's not uncommon for passengers to ask for water, but this particular request was unusual. A cadet from the Air Force Academy walked on board with a falcon on her arm, the school's mascot. All right. That doesn't sound like any sort of security animal, by the way. And asked if the falcon could get a cup of water.
That's when you're like, these emotional support animals are getting out of control. You know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying? Okay, so here's the other thing, too, that we're going to talk about. Flight attendants, for sure, while you are on the flight, they do things like make sure that passengers who have a really, really short time to connect are allowed to, like, get off the plane first. They are really good at making sure you know where your carousel baggage claim is. They do a lot of helping and directing, but mm-hmm. there's only so much that they have knowledge of and can do. And basically, once you're off the plane, their work is done. Like, bye-bye. Get out of here.
Bye-bye. We know the sketch.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye. A family once requested that this flight attendant organize transportation to their final hotel destination. And she was like, I don't know if you, like, there's no, like, phones, there's no nothing. Also, I'm not your personal assistant. I'm a flight attendant. So, y'all, get it together. I don't think anyone who listens to this podcast would ever do such a fucking thing.
No. But this totally reminds me of, like, when someone calls your business specifically at restaurants and they have the wrong place, or, like, they're mm-hmm. trying to get hold of another place, and then you're like, no, this is the wrong place. And they're like, well, do you have the number to that place? And I'm like, the fuck are you talking about? Like, what?
Yeah.
The number? No, the answer is no. Bye-bye. All right. So one of the most common requests is for additional food and drinks, often more than what is offered on the plane. This does not include asking for extra snacks or drinks, but requests for totally different meals or requests to make a special order the airline doesn't even provide.
Like deep frying your chicken.
Yeah, absolutely. One time a passenger asked if they could make him a sushi burrito.
I mean, first of all, no. Okay. I have seen these. I have
the
tried
sushi
them
burritos. It's too much. Like,
so beyond knocking the sushi burrito, also, what the fuck are you asking for?
Yeah, for sure. I agree. I have stayed clear of the sushi burrito because I've just been like, I think it's gonna ruin my love of sushi. Like,
yes,
you'd have to, like, wolf down this, like, huge sushi roll. It sounds terrible. And especially, you shouldn't be having any sort of sushi being made on a plate, unless you're like a Japanese airline, which I'm sure provides something like that, and I'm sure it's delightful.
Yes, if you're on Spirit Airlines, cut it out with the sushi burrito. they have cupo soup. That's what they offer. Mm-hmm. And it's all good. And it costs $5 for cupo soup with the hot toilet water poured on top. That's crazy. This one, this flight attendant goes on to say, one of the weirdest requests I ever got was from a family who requested I bring them a live cat and a bag of live mice for their daughter.
What?
I don't even know what to say to this. The flight attendant was obviously unable to meet their request. Now, granted, we talked about the maitre d'. Like, if you were a maitre d', uh-huh. you could get that cat and those live uh-huh. mice. But this is a flight attendant.
Totally.
People.
Absolutely. If you're really trying to make someone's day, yeah, for sure. And you really want to yes chef it, if you're
yes,
in front of the house now.
The concierge.
You want to get that Chicago pizza for someone who's never had it, when they're in town. That's one thing. But, oh, my God. Okay, so this next one of the craziest things that this person had a request on from a passenger is from a flight Vancouver to Toronto. The passenger had a pet snake, snakes on a plane, here we go, in an aquarium, okay, and asked if he could bring it on the flight as his carry-on. Oh, Lord almighty. Obviously, this was a surprise to all involved, and we had to take a few extra steps to ensure the pet would be allowed on the flight. After consulting with the captain, we allowed the pet on board, but we had to move other passengers to different seats to accommodate the tank. See now, how nice are they?
That's a really nice flight attendant and crew. And they're not only are they trying to help this person who loves their little reptilian pet, but they also realize that whoever was supposed to be sitting next to this person shouldn't have to sit next to a fucking snake in an aquarium.
Especially when there's a whole movie called Snakes on a Plane.
Yeah. Yeah. This is incredible. And listen, like I said, people in this, you know, flight service industry, they really do try and make your flight enjoyable. They will try and accommodate what they can mm-hmm. up to a point. Mm-hmm. And I think this is the point. I think mm-hmm. this is the line. They did mm-hmm. this, and let's not cross the line beyond having to sit next to a snake on a plane. How about finally, I mentioned this last ridiculous request. Flight attendants have been asked a range of colorful questions, like, can the noise of the aircraft be lowered?
Could you seat me next to an area that is not so loud? Thank you so much.
it's like I can't sleep. This plane hurtling through the air at 500 miles per hour is awfully loud. You know, it's like, oh my God, it's called earplugs. It's called put on the headphones and watch a movie. You are on a plane. That reminds me of people who, like, I know this is a little different, but just immediately have to turn down the lights, turn up the lights, mm-hmm. turn down the music, mm-hmm. and put the heat on because they need it, the restaurant, to be just like they like it at home.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. No ambiance for them at all.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey. Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey. Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
So, obviously, you know, aside from the crazy requests, there's also, like, say you work in a nightclub, say you work in a bar, say you work in a restaurant. There's a lot of bad behavior on planes.
Yes. Oh, yes.
Especially overnighters. People are fucking in the bathroom, people. They're going to be, you know, doing all sorts of wild, like, this shouldn't be behavior that's witnessed outside of your own home, but you're on a plane and you're being a monster. So we have never, ever quoted or sourced a Cosmopolitan article on the podcast.
Yeah, Cosmopolitan, you guys need to stuff it up with server life.
Yes, fuck yeah, Cosmo. These will serve as our server submitted stories for this episode because these are real accounts. Mm-hmm. You want to start with one, Andrea?
Yeah, absolutely. I'm going to start with this one that says there was a woman who got angry at me because we didn't serve her drinks fast enough. After she had her drink, she threw up in the empty cup. Oh, she threw the empty cup at me, which hit me in the nose. Then she broke Jesus. Down and said she didn't understand why I had to be so mean to her because I didn't serve her drink fast enough. She said something along the lines of, "You have no idea who I am." So my partner and I were like, "Who are you?" And she just goes, "I'm a dancer."
Okay. Oh my God, you're the dancer?
I'm the dancer.
The dancer. Mm-hmm. No, she wasn't even the dancer. She's a dancer. A dancer? Okay.
Like one of the reindeers? I thought you could already fly. Anyway,
this is something that we've all seen in the fucking early hour morning, late night clubs. So here we go. I had a passenger that was already pretty drunk when he boarded the plane, maybe 5 or 6 hours into the San Francisco to Sydney flight. I've done it. It sucks. Oof. But this guy comes to the back of the plane. Even though we have a lot of bathrooms on this flight, he just starts peeing into the trash bag that's hanging on the door. So we stopped him midstream and brought him back to his seat. That's when we saw he had an open bottle of duty-free alcohol, and we realized he must have been getting more drunk during the flight. Rest of the flight, we were basically force-feeding him food, water, and trying to get him to go bye-bye and go to sleep. As for the bag of pee, we put it in a hazmat bag and locked it in one of the bathrooms for the rest of the flight.
Oh, my God. Okay, we all know that person who's, like, blackout drunk and will just pee anywhere. Like, and it's usually dudes. Because
it takes me back to the David Crabbe story where people would stand at the bar with their dick against the bar and pretend they were going to order, but they were actually just pissing on the
bar.
That
is fucking insanity. Oh, my God. All these stories are so triggering. Okay, here we go. I saw a couple go into a bathroom together, and at some point, the girlfriend came back to her seat and was freaking out and crying. I asked if she was okay, and she said her boyfriend was still in the bathroom, but nothing she said was making sense. We got our boyfriend back to their seat, but a little later, they were back at it again, and we could hear them having sex. The line started forming, so we needed to get them out of there. And when they opened the door, we asked them if they had taken anything. And it turns out they were both on ecstasy. What God. The fuck?
On a
plane?
What
are you doing? Like, is that, like, your form of experimentation as a couple? Like, just be fucking have, dude. Take an Ambien like everybody. Well, or not. I don't. Those make you act crazy, too. Like, just take a Xanny if you need to sleep, but don't take Molly or ecstasy.
I know. And, you know, we might touch on one of these. You know, there's a story in here, too, about, you know, you unfortunately do have the people who are drinking and taking Ambien, and then they get up and start wandering around.
Yeah, they get a little wacky weirdy. Yeah, for sure.
It's weird. This one I'm all about. Okay. There was a lady in business class wearing a skirt suit, and she fell asleep in her seat. The more she slouched, the higher her skirt went, and she wasn't wearing underwear. Her vagina was in full view.
Wow.
So I got a blanket and discreetly put it on her lap. She woke up and looked at me like I was crazy. I walked away so I didn't see her face when she realized her entire vagina was out. Damn. Don't like note to self, if you're gonna wear a skirt on a plane, it's all about that long skirt, baby. It's so comfy. The short skirt's gonna it's gonna come back to haunt you unless you're wearing bike shorts under them.
Like, also wear underwear on a plane. Like,
yeah.
What?
Rule number one.
Yeah. Oh my God. I feel like everybody's just wasted on all these planes too. So there is one here that's like, this one's also disgusting. People are disgusting. So I was on a flight from San Francisco to Tel Aviv, and it was the middle of the night, and a woman came to tell me that when she woke up, the young adult male next to her was masturbating under a blanket. We went back to the seat and saw what was happening. He actually finished into the blanket, which we threw away in a hazmat. So much hazmats happening on planes. To make things worse, he was also sitting next to his mom.
Oh, boy.
Brian's jaw just dropped. Brian's like, been there. We woke her up and she scolded him and apologized to us. She didn't want him to get into any trouble. How old is this kid? He's just like, I'm sweaty and young and this is what I do.
I can't even sit next to a woman. Oh, God.
Oh, my God.
Yowzers.
Yowzers, indeed.
Like, the middle of the night when everyone is super duper passed out on an overnight flight, like, there's one thing you're allowed to do, right? In my opinion, and that is just let the farts out. Just let the farts out. That is what is allowed to come out of your body.
Yeah, I mean, look, yeah, hopefully you don't get, and look, being in a plane too can cause you to be gassier because of the, you know, that's just science. Especially if you're eating something that can like cause more gas, you're going to get more gas just because of the elevation. But like, I just don't like being behind people who fart the whole time. And airplane farts like smell so specific. Have you noticed? Like they kind of all smell exactly the same. It's a very specific, it could, maybe it's the jet fuel mixed in with the lingering fart smell. I really, you guys know what I'm talking about. You guys it's, know what I'm yeah, talking about.
Yeah. Yeah. It's distressing. I don't know what happens up there in the air. I'll end on this final one. Very seasonal, very appropriate. So a grown man dressed as an elf walked onto the aircraft and showed us his boarding pass like everything was normal. He was a tall man, probably in his 60s or 80s. He was very drunk. He wasn't being offensive to anyone. We just weren't going to serve him any more alcohol. We couldn't ask him to leave the plane because he wasn't doing anything wrong. But the other passengers were kind of looking at us for reactions. I mean, I could barely look at him without laughing. He was just sitting in the end seat dressed as an elf. While everyone was dressed normally, it wasn't even that close to Christmas. I think it was October.
That's amazing. What a fun social experiment, however that went down. I know I've talked ad nauseum about, like, you know, my favorite, like, route down layover Denver, you know, delight of a restaurant to eat at, which is so great. But the reason why, like, I love it there is because, like, I have a layover and then I get on a flight and it takes, like, an hour and 15 minutes to get to Omaha. You know what I mean?
Right, right.
So I know that if I'm going to have, a couple drinks, I'm only going to be on a plane for, like, an hour and a half tops, right?
Yes.
I cannot get drunk on planes. I do not enjoy it. It's terrible for your body, you know? And I do, I mean, how drunk have you gotten on a plane, Brooke?
Nothing more than like trying to just kind of put myself out.
Yeah, give yourself a little relaxation. Yeah.
Right. And I mean, like, if it's a really long flight, I've probably over the course of the flight have had like 5 drinks, but you know, they're like little baby drinks.
Yeah.
And, but the problem, as you know, suddenly you land and you're just like, oh my God, now I have to get on the fucking LA exit bus.
Help.
And then try not to get sick in an Uber going across California and you feel like shit. So yeah. It's like,
I know it's like, really not worth it. I think
you got to time it.
I think the most tanked I ever got was that, like, Brian and I had like a big delay once in Baltimore. We were like going back. Remember we had that big delay and we ended up at like the Flying Dog Brewery and we got pretty tanked. Like, it's the one where you're just like, I don't know, the bathroom's just outside. So then you like leave the airport bar and you go to the bathroom and like all of a sudden you're like, oh, right, I'm in an airport, you know?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah, yeah, yeah.
You're like, oh boy.
Well, do you want to jump into some of the job hazards?
Yeah.
And, you know, like, obviously we just talked about like terrible customers,
right,
bad behavior. And, you know, and then obviously it gets a little more real and possibly even dangerous or scary, either on the job or there can be a lot of mental health effects and burnout that happens to flight attendants, just like it happens to people in the service industry. So this was a really actually awesome article from CNN Travel. And this is like specifically talking to people in the profession ever since COVID hit. Mm-hmm. And it's kind of sad. So working as a flight attendant might sound like a dream job, but in a post-pandemic aviation landscape defined by delays, lost luggage, staffing issues, and disruptive passengers, the dream is dying for some people. So basically, you know, we are past the obligatory wearing of face masks, which, as we know, caused violence,
right,
and childlike behavior from stupid fucking passengers.
Right. Personal freedom, blah, 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 blah,
oh,
blah.
God. I can't breathe with the mask. Anyways, so basically since 2020, we know, and we've reported on this during the pandemic. We've absolutely talked about these stats either in headlines or server submitted stories, stuff like that. But basically the incidents with airline passengers being violent and disruptive with their behavior or actually enacting violence, which we saw, like flight attendants getting punched in the face, being tackled, like... basically, The U.S. flight attendant named Rich Henderson, who's been flying for a decade, says that during the pandemic, the whole experience of flying shifted. The whole environment and the energy in the environment shifted. He says, I always tell people that when COVID happened, all of the fun parts of being a flight attendant, all of the satisfying, exciting parts of being a flight attendant were stripped from the job, which is fucking sad.
Yeah, it is really sad.
So, and a lot of it too, Andrew was mentioning this before, flight attendants right now, you know, as we know, it's been hard to keep it staffed. Mm-hmm. There were less flights. Now suddenly flights have returned to normal and they don't have enough, you know, for the people who were abused and quit, they're having trouble restaffing.
I mean, they're adding more. Southwest is going to start doing red eyes. I just read.
Oh, well, well, well. Mm-hmm. So you can do your potato sack race down the aisle to get the seat you want.
At midnight. Yeah.
At midnight. So, you know, I compare this to, you know, servers who do doubles, get overworked, do like three people's jobs. Flight attendants right now are really overworked and not compensated for it. Like Andrea said, until that, you know, that door closes and the flight takes off, they are not being paid, you know, and so they don't want a delay any more than you do. And, you know, people have like, first of all, have you ever been like, these fuckers are getting paid and I'm late for my thing? Like, I've never been like, oh, yeah, like, they're getting paid for it.
Yeah, I think at the end of the day, we all have to remember, like, we're all fucking in this together. So everybody just shut the fuck up and just like make it easy, you know?
Yeah. Right. Exactly. And so it's like they get paid from turning on the engine until it's turned off. Few airlines have an exception to the rule, but generally this is what happens. So then you might be delayed like a motherfucker, not paid for it, and then have a really, really brutal turnaround time, which is another huge complaint. You may have been in the air for 17 hours, exhausted, and you have to be back like 4 hours later to do another cross-country haul. So, and then obviously we're talking about the physical danger when customers get violent. So basically this one flight attendant, the same person who's been quoted, who's not having a very nice time right now, Mr. Henderson here. So he says, there was a day that I clocked in at 17 hours and 1 minute, which ended then with a hostile passenger interaction. I had a passenger throw a cup at me. Sounds like from the Cosmo article. They told me I was worthless and that I was horrible at my job. Anyways, I felt super, super dehumanized. So the IATA, which is the International Air Transport Association, has reported an increasing frequency and severity of disruptive passenger incidents. So there was one unruly incident reported for every 568 flights in 2022. Up from one per 835 flights in 2021. So that's a big jump.
That's huge. And
the major. So the problem's so omnipresent that there is now an entire conference dedicated to trying to figure out what the fuck is going on in the air and how to deal with this like increase in frequency of unruly airline passengers. So the conference has gathered legal experts, academics, officials, and flight attendants to all get in a big round table to discuss what they call the scourge of unruly passenger behavior.
Jesus.
I know. It's crazy. And so then, you know, what you do have, which is completely fair, you do end up with flight attendants who lean on substance abuse to get through it, or they have mental dips in their mental health. Cause we, you know, cause Andrea mentioned before that if you're in the air a lot, that your bones turn to glass. And, So, you know, you might be leaning on the opioids. I'm just saying conspiracy. So what happens is you have such weird schedules and weird hours that suddenly you're like, as a flight attendant, you're like, fuck, I got to knock myself out. And so they're just as crazy sometimes as the passengers by using alcohol and Ambien to, you know, kind of regulate their weird sleeping hours. Have we all seen the flight attendant? She loved her vodka.
Oh, yeah, she sure did.
Kaylee Cuoco. But, you know, but also, like, if like we had an episode, you know, a few months ago about burnout. And this is something that I could see happening so much easier to a flight attendant.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And, I mean, because I just feel like you're like, you're basically time traveling.
Yes, it's so disorienting. Some flights could be really fun. And like you said, some flights can be brutal. And then someone throws a cup in your face and tells you you're a piece of shit. Like, that's not good for morale. So basically something really cool that has come out of it, though, is there basically is a Facebook group and now a tech support system. Let me look at what it's called. So it's a nonprofit called Therapy. Isn't that kind of clever? Like T-H-A-I-R-A-P, like Therapy. Mm-hmm, Therapy, mm-hmm. Which provides support and advice for flight attendants who are struggling with their overall mental health and well-being. So you could join the group on Facebook as early as 2018. So you can imagine that the numbers have skyrocketed with people who are losing their minds mm-hmm. and having a lot of burnout. So basically, like I said, during the pandemic, the group's numbers ballooned and there was a huge need for mental health advocacy within aviation. So they do offer emergency system assistance funds and a 24/7 peer-to-peer text line, which is really, really cool. So the text line, which I think exists on WhatsApp, came about in 2021. Within the first 6 months, we had over 10,000 text message exchanges between volunteers and texters, which are flight attendants.
Wow.
I know. They're getting messages from all over the world. Anywhere there's a flight attendant, we have gotten a message from them saying, I just need to talk to somebody and I need support. So basically what they're trying to do right now is really, really push for people to look at their work-life balance, get the mental health help they need. Maybe they need to walk away from the job permanently, or maybe they need a refresh and then they can come back after their burnout subsides.
Interesting.
Because they don't have control over their schedules, really.
Yeah.
You know?
No, absolutely. Okay. So I just found this article, and I don't want to sound like, because you're like your loss of sleep and your loss of time, that is what can affect your bone mass, like, and then lead to osteoporosis. So it's more like a link between sleep deprivation and, you know, than anything. So you're basically like, yeah, so that is what I was more getting at. But, you know, I think that's why you have to retire earlier. You know, it's also probably the stress of the job too on many levels. I'm pretty sure the same air traffic controllers absolutely have to retire earlier. Like, because after a certain time, the chances of you having a heart attack are going to go up, you know?
Oh my God. Well, I hear that. And yes, see, Andrew was right. Bones of glass. So I just couldn't help but like read some of this stuff and just feel that being a flight attendant is so similar to being a server mm-hmm. or a hotel worker. Mm-hmm. It makes us all trauma bonded no matter where in the world we do our job. Mm-hmm. It's like we are subject to, and I wrote this myself, this is not from an article, we are subjected to the annoyingly predictable human behavior of customers. And that's why there are really, really fun like outlets for this, the way that we have, you know, like Server Rant or Restaurantism or all these fun Instagram groups. Passenger shaming on Instagram is so great. And there's another one called Two Guys on a Plane. And these are the things where flight attendants around the world basically are like, fuck yeah, this meme is my life, 1 million likes. And there's a lot of humor and levity and a lot of flight attendants getting the clap back because they have to be very polite on the job. So they deserve a place to vent. But I thought in the spirit of holiday travel and, you know, just the holidays in general, let's end on this note. How can you, as a, you know, a person who's traveling, take care of your flight attendants? And we mentioned this before.
Yeah, absolutely. You can return their greeting, which, you know, if they say hi to you, say hi back. I am front and center for that. I'm like, ready. When I'm in that line stepping on that plane, I'm ready to say good morning, good afternoon. Yep. How are you today? You know?
Don't even have to say it first.
Nope.
I'm like, hi.
I'm first. I'm always first. Yeah, absolutely.
So y'all like, you know, and I understand sometimes people are nervous flyers, but don't be afraid to maybe even let your flight attendant know that you're nervous. They might go out of their way for you. Like, they are here to help you, especially if you're not being an annoying turd. Mm-hmm. They can be really indispensable and wonderful, wonderful. You know, like soothing babies, like helping people who are scared. Like, we've seen the heartwarming, you know, headlines. So another thing you can do, I do not know why people don't get this, time your potty breaks. Like, there's the person who, I swear to God, their bladder is triggered the minute they hear the brakes come off that beverage cart. And they're like, I gotta get up and use the bathroom now. And like, make the flight attendant roll the whole damn thing all the way back to the galley, you know, and it's also like sometimes they're like, no, sit the fuck down.
I personally feel like I wait for the last possible moment. I might even be doing damage to my body the moment I hold my urine on a plane, because I just find the whole experience quite tedious in general. You know what I mean? Like, but yes, agreed. I was trying to make it when it's like no one's around, no one's in line, then I make my move.
I love borderline running down that aisle when you're like, everyone's asleep. I'm not like, I can't get into that dance. I hate it so much. But all right. What else can you do, Andrea?
You can pass it on with your magazines or newspapers. If you're done with it, you can leave it for someone else. Even if you do the crossword puzzle in the back of the People magazine, making it so you are not able to do it.
But yeah, that's a cool one that I never thought. Like, if you already ripped through your magazine over the flight, like, they need stuff to entertain themselves as much as you do and don't get a chance to go run into the fucking, you know, terminal and go get a bunch of stuff. So, like, when, like, to me, I was like, ooh, next time I do that, I love that. Be like, you guys want some trash mags? And they'd be like, fuck yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I actually, like, remember the amount of times I've gone back to, like, use the restroom, and I definitely have seen flight attendants, like, chilling out, like, flipping through magazines in the back. Absolutely. Just like, you know, like crammed up amongst the stacks of juice boxes, which is usually what you see, right? It's like, I feel like when you go back to the galley, it's just like them huddled in there, and there's just like boxes of high stacked beverages all around them.
Absolutely. So another thing you can do to, and this is a no-brainer, pay attention, or at least give a little bit of a sense that you're paying attention. I think, you know, for me, I do try and spring for exit row. So you have to. And I think because I do that, I just try and pay attention. Mm-hmm. If I'm within eye contact, I try to be polite and look their way.
Mm-hmm.
And have you ever realized sometimes that I'm like, I've heard this spiel about safety so many times that I could say it myself, but I actually don't know what the fuck is happening. And if we got in a situation, I guarantee I wouldn't remember the directions. You can use, if it doesn't inflate on its own, you can use the tube.
Put it on yourself first and then help your kid. For sure. Another one is bear gifts. So package treats, gift cards, even ink pens. And this also comes, I read an article and I think we've talked about it before, but tipping flight attendants is generally shunned and you shouldn't do it. I think a lot of it, hails back to over-sexualizing of women. Right. And if you're tipping them, you're giving them an excuse to treat them like garbage, right?
Yeah.
So you're incentivizing bad behavior by that. Package treats for sure. If it's homemade, they won't eat it for sure. It needs to be sealed.
You don't know. Exactly.
Gift cards. Bitch, everybody loves a Starbucks card. Even I don't even enjoy Starbucks, but I have gotten Starbucks card and I use the shit out of them. You know what I mean? Yeah.
The thing is, when you are flying, everything becomes the most coveted commodity.
Yeah.
Like things that in your normal life, you'd be like, I don't want that shit. Like you're in there. You're like, yeah, I want that
you're
shit.
You're like, I'm going to eat now. This tiny bag of pretzels one teeny bite at a time.
Yes. Exactly. Make them last. All right. So guys, the call button. All right. You're not in first class. They are really not at your beck and call unless you're in first class.
Mm-hmm.
It's sort of like, it's kind of for emergencies. Like if you're really truly having a problem, it's not because you want another drink. You can get your ass up out of your seat. I do this all the time. If I want another one, I go to them. Mm-hmm. I'm like, I'm up there. Sometimes they'll give it to you right there and they don't even have to come to you. Like, do not be hitting that button to get service. It's you're not in one of those Irish snugs where you turn on the light bulb so that the server comes to know, you know, knows to come and like, you know, get you a refill or whatever. So just like be careful with that button.
I love this one that's like know your drink. I've like actually never sat next to anybody who's been like, let me look. Where's the pull-out menu? What do you guys have again? Like I have
you,
never yeah.
Have you met Sean?
Oh, not like that. Not that version. He's just unsure. Is it more that he has to make a decision on something?
Yes, he panics and goes blank. And then also like he's a whisperer. And so they're like, what? You know, so it's a whole
And then he goes a little more inward and can't. Yep. Yeah. Okay. Yep. Okay.
Totally panics fine. And goes inward.
Look, I'm usually a no drinker or like a and I don't know any airlines that have Pepsi. It's like all Coke, right?
someone gave us Pepsi recently, and it had to have been Delta because we don't fly really outside of that.
Huh. Maybe they have both, but I don't know. I just feel like it's always a Coke world. But
yeah, or yeah. Like they were out of it and they're like, is Pepsi okay? And I was like,
I guess so. I'll take a, can I just get a Diet Sprite? Thank you.
I'll just take a Mr. Pibbs.
I don't know. I've been going full sugar on planes lately. It's been good. You know?
It's yummy.
Mm-hmm.
Treat yourself. Okay, guys, this goes without saying for like anyone ever, but especially do not poke, tap, or tug on the sleeve of a flight attendant.
Yeah, no touching.
Hands to yourselves. Mm-hmm. This will get you zip tied to your chair. Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Mind your fucking manners also. Like, please. Yep. Thank you. You know, these people, like, just be the nicest version of yourself. Come on, guys.
And to add on to that, smiling just really does go a long way.
Yeah. Just smile. Nod your head. Take a nap. Don't make any trouble. Don't stir. That's what I try and do. And then when you walk off that plane, say thank you again. Say, absolutely. Everybody have
happy
a great
holidays.
Day.
Mm-hmm. Thank you for getting us here safely. Mm-hmm. This was enjoyable. You know, whatever. I love to compliment anyone who goes above and beyond. And,
I know. I also pride myself on manners. I hate to say it, but I'm yes. Like, I am a fucking awesome. And I'm going to, yeah, for sure.
And, I am polite.
And also just so polite. Don't stand up in the middle. Yeah, I could go on, but that's just me.
Right. This is about the job, not our fellow passengers who make us want to kill ourselves.
Absolutely. Anyways. But I don't know. I think that we've done a pretty good job like breaking her down. I think we covered a lot and I'm glad we finally did. Hooray for flight attendants. Thank you for your service.
We did it. And I'm excited to see if we get any feedback or other areas that someone didn't think to mention because we'll circle back, you know?
Absolutely.
Well, guys, we did it.
Yeah. That's it. You guys, server-submitted stories. It's the holiday season. On top of flight stories that maybe, like, you know, you might have to send to us, any fun holiday server-submitted stories are always welcome. Sideworkpod@gmail.com. Brooke, other than that, you know that we say what we say at the end of every episode.
Godspeed
and good tips. Happy traveling, guys. Behave out there.